Save the date. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky, with visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Look for more information in early 2023 at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. lutheransforlife.org.
If someone is denied the right to life, well, there's not going to be any other opportunity to exercise any other rights in life. So the right to life comes first, and that's why it's preeminent.
Of course, since that time, the Catholic universities have all become secularized. While the dogma of the Catholic Church has no sway in those institutions, the dogma of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, cannot be questioned.
The Church is the domain of the Word of Christ. And there is no salvation without the pure word and the sacraments of the word. And there is no spirit to be found without these.
But it's not like the cross is an example of God's love. It is God's love. This is God's love. It's not just showing us God's love. It's the love of God manifest.
Organic dairy farmers from northern Germany love listening to Issues, etc.
I am a confessional Lutheran. That means I'm not just any ordinary Lutheran. It means that I'm a Lutheran according to the teachings of the 1580 Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions. That's why I call myself a confessional Lutheran. Well, there are those who say, well, the Book of Concord has nothing to say about this subject or that subject, so Lutherans are free to believe whatever they want to with regard to that. Well, that may be true unless the Bible has something to say about this or that. Bible certainly has something to say about the sanctity of life. Do the Lutheran confessions say anything about the sanctity of life? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, March 31st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Michael Salamink will join us from Lutherans for Life to answer that very question. Dr. Stephen Parks will be alongside a little bit later for our series responding to Roman Catholic proof texts. Today, the Fourth Commandment and the Veneration of Mary. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll talk about televangelist Jerry Savelle's teaching on tithing. And then Dr. Brad Wilcox, professor of sociology at the University of Virginia, will bring us some news on a new Pew report on parents' priorities for their children. Pastor Michael Salamink is executive director of Lutherans for Life and author of a column for the Concordia Theological Quarterly titled Sanctity of Life in the Lutheran Confessions. Michael, welcome back.
Good day, and the Lord be with you.
You say that Lutherans bring a distinctive accent to both Christianity and to culture. What do you mean by that?
Lutherans have a unique and irreplaceable voice and contribution to bring to Christianity, first of all, as the Church of the Reformation, the Church of the Word of God, the Church, the people of grace alone, and God's gift of salvation. But Lutherans also have unique contributions to make to cultural conversations as Christians, to bring a message of joy and hope, a message of courage and compassion in times when both of those things are sorely lacking. So Lutherans need to feel their oats, right? We need to understand the opportunities and the responsibilities that God has given us to speak His truth and show Christ's love, both within the Christian context and within the wider cultural context. And that especially comes to be relevant when we're talking about issues of the sanctity of life.
Did Martin Luther or the other reformers have anything to say about abortion?
Remarkably, they did. It was a surprise to me when I started researching these things to find out, I guess it had never occurred to me, that surprise pregnancy and abortion have been issues since time immemorial. So as long as husbands and wives have been conceiving, there have been efforts to interrupt that conception or prevent it or to end that pregnancy once it has come about. So Martin Luther actually in his works, in his lectures on Genesis, so some of his foundational perspectives on things. He's very particular and says this about abortion. He says, "How great, therefore, the wickedness of human nature is. How many girls there are who prevent conception and kill and expel tender fetuses, although procreation is the work of God." And then he goes on to say also, "Those who pay no attention to pregnant women and do not spare the tender fetus have become murderers." But it wasn't just Luther, the second generation of Lutheran reformers. Martin Chemnitz, who was primary leader and formulator of Lutheran doctrine, in his theological textbook, Lotsi Theologicae, he is commenting on Melanchthon's earlier textbook in explaining the fifth commandment. And this, of course, is relevant because in our congregations, it's often in conjunction with the fifth commandment that we talk about sanctity of life issues. But here's what Chemnitz says. He says, "Pertinent here are those things which hinder conception and likewise the matter of destroying the fetus in the womb." So now, Lutheran Chemnitz, these statements were not included in the Lutheran confessional documents. These were in some of their other documents. But both Luther and Chemnitz did write documents that became part of the Lutheran confession. So I think from that alone, we can infer that the reformers and the confessors took a very strong stand when it came to the sanctity of life.
How did the Lutheran confessions reflect Scripture's teaching about marriage, procreation, parenthood?
It's fascinating the way the language that the Lutheran confessions use to talk about procreation, because of how much more intense it is than the language even that Christians and Lutherans will use today. Because rather than talking about procreation and parenthood as a matter of choice or convenience, in the language of, for example, the Augsburg Confession, the confessors state God created human beings for procreation. And in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, it says Genesis teaches that we human beings were created to be fruitful. And Luther goes on to say in the Large Catechism, "Therefore, do not imagine that the parental office is a matter of your pleasure. It is a strict commandment and injunction of God, who holds you accountable for it." That's pretty encouraging language when it comes to procreation, that it's not just an add-on, an accessory to the life that we would build for ourselves, but it is an inherent part of human community, marriage, and family, that procreation and parenthood would have a role to play in that.
How do the confessions regard the vocation of childbearing and childrearing?
Luther is famous in his writings for elevating the vocation of parenting to a very high regard. You'll remember that when he talked about vocation, he often compared it to the monastic life, which in the time of the Reformation, the monastic life was considered like the highest calling, right? If you wanted to serve God, the most direct and pure way to serve God was to be removed from the temptations and the concerns of general human community and society, but to spend your time in worship and full-time service to the Lord and to his church. But Luther, in contrast to this, he elevates the vocations of marriage and parenting. So in the Large Catechism, he can say, God has given this walk of life. Now he's talking about fatherhood and motherhood. He says a special position of honor, and it is higher than that of any other walk of life under it. So Luther says, really, one of the highest callings, according to the Large Catechism, is parenting. That's a word of encouragement to those of us who continue to defend and celebrate this vocation, in contrast to the way that our world feels about parenting, sometimes as it's an interruption or a hindrance to achieving one's goals or fulfilling one's purpose.
How does the Confession's teaching on the transmission of original sin supplement its teaching on life?
This is fascinating because Lutheran confessional documents and the reformers in there speaking about original sin actually testify in an oblique way to the humanity of human beings even before they are born. So the formula of Concord, for example, can say in Article 1 already, along with human nature, original sin is transmitted through conception and through birth. And so the confessions speak of sin as connected very closely to human nature. And the fact that they do this shows that recognizing that an unborn human being is sinful involves recognizing that that unborn human being is human and is a person. So the formula of Concord goes on to say, original sin is not something in and of itself or outside of human nature. In other words, you cannot be sinful unless you are first a human being and a human person. And so then statements like the psalmist in Psalm 51, surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Even though those statements are not complementary of human nature, they do testify to our belief that from the moment of fertilization, we are human beings with all of the privileges and responsibilities that pertain to that from the very beginning in the eyes of God.
How do the Lutheran confessions distinguish, and this is a difficult one for some, distinguish between the image of God lost in the fall and that created image of God retained to some degree by fallen creatures?
Well, the confessions will use the language of God being involved in the act of bringing forth human life in an intimate way, both with the first human beings, Adam and Eve, before the fall, but also with every human being after the fact. God still recognizes, the formula of Concord says, he still recognizes human beings are his own work. So even though our sinfulness causes great damage to the image of God that he created in humankind, so much so that in the book of Genesis, the author of Genesis can speak of having created Adam and Eve in his own image. But then when the author of the book of Genesis speaks about Adam and Eve's offspring, he says, they brought forth children in Adam's image, right? A recognizable difference. Even though sinfulness is a severe deficiency, it does not decrease a person's value before God. And so here's what the formula of Concord says. It says, upright Christian hearts should remember the goodness of God, that God does not cast us into the fires of hell because of our sinful nature. Instead, out of that sinful human nature, God makes and fashions human nature as it is now, so that he might cleanse and sanctify and save it through his dear Son. So human nature in God's creation has a trajectory that is aimed at being saved by the Son of God. And in fact, it is the incarnation of Jesus Christ more than anything else that confirms the image of God and the value of human life, because Jesus takes on that sinful human nature and then redeems it through his gestating, his growing, his suffering and dying and rising.
You say that the confessors do not disconnect identity and dignity from redemption in Christ. What do you mean by that?
I mean that when the confessions speak about what it means to be a human being and what value there is in every human life, they connect that directly to the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We might say that they use the Son of God's incarnation as a paradigm. So here's what they say in the Small Card Articles. Luther writes, the Son of Man became a human being in this way. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So the confessions are identifying the moment of conception already at the beginning as the moment when the human person comes into being. The formula of Concord will go into greater detail when it quotes from Luther's works. And it says, wherever Christ is according to his divinity, he is personally there according to his humanity as well. So the Son of God, who is in his mother's womb as God, also is there as a human being, which means Christ cannot be divided. So Jesus did not become the Son of God when he was born, or at some point after his conception, but at the very moment of fertilization. And at that point, his work of redemption began. So that testifies to the fact that human nature begins at the very point of fertilization, which means already from the beginning, God is at work redeeming every human being while Jesus is still in the womb, and that extends to include every human being who themselves are in the womb as well.
Pastor Michael Salamink is our guest, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're talking about the sanctity of life in the Lutheran confessions. How does the confession's teaching of infant baptism fit into all of this? When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Is your child struggling at school? Are you thinking about homeschooling? Would you like help knowing what to teach and how to teach it? The Simply Classical curriculum from Memoria Press provides an enriching, step-by-step classical Christian education for students who have autism, learning or behavioral difficulties, ADHD, and more. You'll find everything you need, including daily lesson plans to guide your way. Learn more at simplyclassical.com. Use LPR23 to save on your order. Simplyclassical.com.
In the parable of the dishonest manager, the manager's shrewdness was motivated by self-interest and temporal concerns. In our case, the driving force behind shrewdness is others-centered and eternity-focused. We're in a real battle with Satan for the souls of humanity. Anything we can do to bring others to Christ is well worth the effort. That's from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Jesus Said What? From Concordia Publishing House. You can give them a call and order this book, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Jesus Said What? We're talking about the sanctity of life in the Lutheran confessions. Pastor Michael Salamink is our guest. So, Michael, how does the confession's teaching on infant baptism fit into all of this?
Well, the Small Called articles are very clear about this. Not only do Luther and the Reformers insist that infant baptism should be extended to the youngest of children by the Christian community because God has commanded it, but explicitly, this is what the Small Called articles say, we maintain that we should baptize children because they also belong to the promised redemption that was brought about by Christ. Right? And we remember our Lord's words in the Gospel of Mark when the disciples were hindering the parents who were bringing their little children to Jesus for him to bless them. Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Though the Reformers do not come out and say that unborn children also belong to the redemption that was brought about by Jesus Christ, they do say that the youngest of children that we can lay hands on do belong to Christ's redemption. And so we can infer from that, if God had given a command and a chance for unborn children to be baptized, that our reformers would insist on that as well.
So just pause for a moment. Let's bring this all together and summarize the Lutheran Confession's message on the sanctity of life.
Quite simply, for the Book of Concord, the gospel of Jesus Christ, so the central tenet of the Christian faith, that humankind is precious to God and saved by grace and not by works. That is what's at the heart of the confession's speech about the sanctity of human life. The same principles that make it clear to us that God's love and salvation is unconditional, that he justifies by grace through faith in what Christ has done. Those are exactly the same principles that the confessions apply to human life even before that life is born. So God's work, his grace in creating and redeeming, shows that human beings are special and precious from the moment of fertilization until forever. And God forbids and discourages the use of any other kind of solution to difficulties. So the salvation that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith in God and by what God does on our behalf is not just good enough for us in the forgiveness of sins and at the end of our life. It is also good enough for us in situations like surprise pregnancy and terminal diagnosis. And even in those difficult situations where we see only darkness and despair, God loves to work his miracles, bringing forth faith and hope and love and joy. And so that means that as Christians, we don't advocate for the sanctity of life as something in addition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it doesn't matter how old you are or what you look like, where you come from, what you can't do. What matters is what God is doing and has done for you in creating, in redeeming, in incorporating into his family.
The Roman Catholic Church and Roman Catholics, many of them, have been very outspoken on the issue of life. They issue statements and papal encyclicals and all these kinds of things. Do we Lutherans, confessional Lutherans, need to be more vocal when it comes to the protection of life from beginning to end?
Absolutely. If not simply because it's a proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then because the voice of the gospel as it connects to the sanctity of life is sorely missing, especially in the public sphere. And I can testify to this from personal experience because I get together with mixed communities of people who are Lutherans and people who are Christians of other denominations and people who are not Christian at all. As they speak about defending the most vulnerable among us in our country's policies and practices and in our behavior towards one another as neighbors. And even amongst the Christian voices for life, the Lutherans have a unique message. It is one that is motivated by thanksgiving for the gift that God has given us in our own lives and our bodies, by thanksgiving for the gift that God gives us in the lives and the bodies of our neighbors, but also by joy and anticipation of the blessings that God imparts to us through those lives, through the lives of our neighbors, to recognize each person as a gift and a privilege, and to see how God is going to work wonderful things through those who, by outward appearance, we might assume don't have much human value. Lutherans, it is important for us to bring that perspective, a perspective that reminds people that the sanctity of life does not derive from what we can do. And I can give a good example of where this can sometimes get mixed up. I often hear from folks with good hearts, even Lutheran folks, when speaking about, say, a family member who has a disability. Well, my nephew Joey, he has Down syndrome, but he brings such a smile to everyone's face and teaches us the value of rejoicing even in difficult times, and we couldn't imagine our family without him. What that kind of perspective has done is subtly, it has justified Joey's existence and value based on what he can do for me. Even apart from that, If Joey were confined to a hospital bed, entirely uncommunicative, maybe minimally conscious, and was unable to do anything for himself or for anyone else around him, we would not need to give a defense of the sanctity of his life. It is already evident there by the fact that he's a member of the human community. God has created him. God has redeemed him in Christ Jesus. God is calling him into his everlasting fellowship and family. And we ought to be able to not only appreciate that, but proclaim that. And so Lutherans need to be able to bring this gospel-motivated message of joy and hope that finds human value in what God does for us, even into those contexts where other Christians are already speaking.
Can you call yourself a confessional Lutheran and be pro-choice?
Well, you can, because there are people who are. And recognizing, of course, that all of us in our public witness and our verbal confession, we give evidence of inconsistencies. I would never want to question the bona fides or the honesty, the genuineness of a person's faith. But I would say this, it is inconsistent with not just the position of the Lutheran confessions and the doctrine of the Lutheran Church as we understand it today, is inconsistent with the scriptures, and it is inconsistent with the gospel of Jesus Christ to insist on mandatory abortion access, or even to encourage abortion as a solution to a surprise pregnancy for any person. That's not in keeping with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It is contrary to both God's command and his promise. And in that way, it is corrosive and poisonous to a person's faith, and it is poisonous to the proclamation of the gospel among us.
What can you tell us about the 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference, October 11th through the 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport?
We're looking very much forward to a very large gathering for that. We'll be in the shadow of the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. So we've provided time within the conference proceedings agenda for people to be able to make a visit there. As a matter of fact, we have some programming that's scheduled to take place at the Creation Museum. They have an exhibit called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made about human development in utero and connecting that to the Word of God. That happens to be the theme for our conference, but we're also going to have 9 breakout sessions. We have 2 keynote speakers. One will be Rebecca Kiesling. She leads an organization called Save the One, which is a community of persons who either have been conceived through sexual assault or who conceived their own children through sexual assault. And of course, that is a relevant conversation to have about the sanctity of life. And so she brings a message of joy and hope. Our other keynote speaker is the Reverend Mark Chavez. He is formerly the General Secretary for the North American Lutheran Church, and he has some really gospel-motivated reflections about caring for his wife at the end of her life as she suffered a terminal illness, the blessings that he and his family received through her by the hand of God. So fantastic keynotes for that. I shouldn't let the cat out of the bag, but we have also invited a Supreme Court justice and a state attorney general to be recipients of one of our organizational awards. And we're hoping, against hope, that one or perhaps both of them will be able to be present to present at our conference as well. We haven't got word back from their offices, but lots of exciting things going on, from student essay winners to sessions about how to take action in your community to just gathering together for fellowship with other life-affirming Lutherans. So encourage and invite everybody to go to the website, lutheransforlife.org. Registration opens tomorrow.
Folks, early bird registration for the 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference opens tomorrow, Saturday, April 1st. Learn more at lutheransforlife.org, lutheransforlife.org. Pastor Michael Salamink is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life and author of the column for the Concordia Theological Quarterly titled Sanctity of Life in the Lutheran Confessions. Michael, thank you very much.
Thanks so much. God bless your gospel-motivated voice for life.
Our series, Responding to Roman Catholic Proof Texts, continues after the break with Dr. Stephen Parch. We'll be talking about the Fourth Commandment and the veneration of Mary. Hate my family, not peace, but a sword, make friends by unrighteous wealth. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Jesus Said What? This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Jesus Said What? at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Jesus Said What? 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.